Thank you for that special, Laura. Well, now that Bob is ready and he's got his phone off and Siri's given him permission to preach here, it's not new for me to introduce Bob. I'm glad to see him and his family here, and I think about it, and you know, we miss them not being here, and I'm certain whenever they come, we want to invite them to come and move back here again, but I'm completely opposed to that because then I'd have to give up my house to give back to them. I don't necessarily want to do that. But I'm glad for the opportunity to be here. I appreciate that Bob's willing to preach. I know he frequently does it in Grand Junction, but we're always anticipating as the Lord works upon his heart. So I give you now our brother and elder Bob Hedrick.
Thank you, Adam. Good morning. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Adam to finish my house so I can come back to it. All the projects that I never got to and got around to. So, and he's doing a good job. I didn't know I wanted fish, but apparently I do want fish in my backyard. Well, it is good to be here. It's always a pleasure to come back. I send you the greetings from Grand Junction of our brothers and sisters there. I appreciate your prayers always. And it's a special place up there as well. It's a special place in my heart for the many years we've been there. I appreciated Laura's song. It really, the miracles that happen when we believe just really is such a truth. That's the foundation for everything. But that's not what I came to talk about. So I have some thoughts. Hopefully, when I get done, you'll at least have had a chance to think about some things and consider some things and maybe apply them in your life. That's what anyone who stands up here is our hope. Isn't to entertain you or anything, but to give you something that leaves these four walls in your heart. And you actually take it and apply it in your life. And that's my hope. I couldn't help but notice, maybe you've noticed, there's some holiday coming up. I can't quite put my finger on it. I think it starts just after Labor Day. I'm talking about Christmas. And this is not a Christmas season. I mean, not a Christmas sermon. But it is a Christmas season, right? And, we now have spring, summer, fall, and Christmas. Those are the four seasons we have. We used to sing about the 12 days of Christmas, and now we have the 12 weeks of Christmas. In some ways, I'm old and grumpy, and can you at least wait till after Thanksgiving? But part of me says, no, there's a good side to this, and I hope you bear with me. When every family has theirs, our family it's Malia. Malia is the one who has. The day after Thanksgiving, everything's out for Christmas. She's excited for Christmas. She's ready for it. She's got the music on the CD. She's just, Christmas is coming. And you know what? I got to admit, I remember when Carrie and I were little. Yeah, Mom made us wait until after Thanksgiving, but then we'd get the record player out. These big black discs and listen to Christmas music. And it was just awesome. It was something we looked forward to. It was exciting. And I think that's a good thing. I think that we should have that excitement about Christmas. What happens is we get older and we know who pays for Christmas. And then we started worrying about, well, how am I going to pay for Christmas? And then we get a little jaded with getting bombarded by Christmas, and then so we can. It's easy to get less enthusiastic, but it's something to be excited about. So that brings me to questions, because everybody asks us, so are you ready for Christmas? How many of you are ready for Christmas? Yeah, the kids. Every one of the kids go, woof. Why are you ready for Christmas? Why are you excited? Because you get presents. Okay. It's okay to say it. It's okay to say it. But there's something coming you're excited about. And this is not a bad thing. But, you know, for us that are older, you know, are we ready for Christmas? Well, that has a different connotation, doesn't it? Oh, ready for Christmas. Well, I know, because you guys already have your list in the back. You got to plan all your meals. Okay, who's coming? And how much food are we going to have? And who's bringing what? Got to get the Christmas tree out and put the decorations up. And then there's shopping. Oh, yeah, shopping. Got to come up with ideas for gifts. Oh, got to talk to the gift whisperer. Get some ideas. You know, it's a lot of things are stressful, but it's something that's part of getting ready for Christmas. You know, on a side note, I it can be stressful, but I hope that's not what it is today, or as you keep your mind, you know, thinking about it. I saw this thing about men and Christmas shopping. That they said that when men go Christmas shopping, that their heart rate and blood pressure go up. And it's basically the equivalent of a jet fighter pilot in combat. That is what it's like for men to go Christmas shopping. I don't have that issue. I find out what I've got my wife when she opens it. It's amazing. I think she learned that from Chris. And thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you so much. But we make a lot of preparations getting ready for Christmas and making sure everything's wrapped. We plan meals, make arrangements. You know, if we have guests coming, we got to clean the house because we don't want them to see how we really live. We want them to see how we want them to see us live. We get the boxes out of the attic or out of the shed with all of our decorations. In our house, we find, you know, you ever get your stuff out and you go, and well, where do you put it? Because we already got a house full of stuff. So what's the first thing you got to do? You got to get rid of some stuff. You got to make room. And so that's what I want to begin to talk about is getting ready for Christmas. Preparing for Christmas. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to clean house. I want you to turn with me if you'd like. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 3. I'm getting ready for Christmas. Cleaning up some house. Because God was preparing for Christmas too. I'm going to start with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." We gotta do some cleaning up. That's what God was trying to get the people to do, is repent. And so what I wanted to bring is, you know, we prepare physically for Christmas. God prepared for Christmas. We have to also have to prepare spiritually for Christmas. And so I want to go through some things about how we can prepare spiritually for Christmas. And this is the first one, is to clean our house. Repent. Turn around. Look at those things in our life that we need to, we know. Things that we wish we did better. Things that we are temptations for us. Things that make us stumble. Things that make us angry. Sometimes it's our pride. I want to, you know, I'm going to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Talking about our day. Verse 1. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And we're familiar with most of this list. I mean, but sometimes we think about, well, it's just talking about the big things. But there's a lot of little things in there too that are sinful. And that we have to be able to look at ourselves and say, is that me? Am I unthankful? Do I go through life unthankful? It's really cool because in our nation we have a day of Thanksgiving, right? Which is great. We have a day of Thanksgiving. And if you really take the opportunities from it, you get a chance to really be thankful to God for the blessings of life. And what happens the day after Thanksgiving? Then it's the sales that tell you all the things you need to be need to make you happy, because you shouldn't be happy with what you have. That's what the purpose of all those advertisements is to take away your contentment. Proud, boasters, covetous, wanting things that aren't ours, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Ouch. Sometimes I find that's one of my biggest struggles, is I want to do what I want to do. I want, I want some ease. I want to relax. I want to have fun. And sometimes the temptation is to put that before God, and I can't. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We can put on a show on the outside, but on the inside, there's emptiness. It's a facade. It says, from such turn away. You know, that's part of cleaning our spiritual house. That's part of getting ready for Christmas, because we're preparing for this event. That's not the fun part, though. Is cleaning the house ever the fun part? I'm guessing no. I can speak from my experience. I can speak from the experience of my kids. It's never the fun part, but is it necessary? It absolutely is. That's where we begin. And so that's where I want us all to begin, is to look at our lives and see those things in our lives that those things that we tend to gloss over, and look at ourselves and say, you know what? This is something I want to change. Because we have, with our Savior, we have the power to do it. So, we've cleaned up. We've cleaned the house. We got all the things out of our house that we want to get out of our house. and we've made room and for all of our Christmas decorations, right? Putting up all the holly and the light, Christmas lights, and how many of you guys have a nativity? Most everybody does a little nativity, and they're right there, right? So as you're setting up your nativity, where do you put the baby Jesus? Right smack dab in the center, right? Did you ever think about that? Where do we put Jesus in our lives? I hope right smack dab in the center of everything. It's the focal point of the whole nativity thing, is that little baby Jesus. Everybody's looking at it. And that's the way it's got to be with our life, is we have to put Christ in the very center of our life. And everybody can see it. Everybody's looking at it. I want to turn back to Joshua chapter 24. When the Israelites had come into the land and they'd conquered most of it, and Joshua was about to die, and he'd gave them some counsel, asked them a question. Verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." You know, they made that promise and that covenant. They made a choice. They made a choice to become closer. A choice of who they're going to follow. A choice to put Christ right smack dab in the center of their life. We have we don't have so much the gods of the Amorites around us to tempt us, but we got the gods of ourself, our own ego, our the god of money, the god of fun, the god of sports, fame. Anything that we put before God is our god. Anything that keeps us from doing those things that He commands us is our god. It becomes more important to us. Sometimes it's our own pride. Well, I'm just shy. What you're saying is I'm not, because my feelings are more important than doing what God tells me to do. It's another god. And so once we've cleaned our house and we get up in our nativity and our decoration set up, we got to make Christ the center of our life. We've got to choose. We've got to make a choice. Get off of a fence. Because I think our society has a problem with commitment. It's pretty common in the world these days for people to live together before they get married. And sometimes we kind of take that to a spiritual sense with Christ. We want to live with Jesus, but we really don't want to be married to Him. I want all the benefits. I don't want the responsibilities. too much commitment to that, to be married to Christ. Because sometimes we want to push them aside a little bit so that we can do what we want to do. Because that's the reality of our human nature, is we do what we want to do. And the goal is to do, is our wants should be matched with what God wants us to do. So, making Jesus part of the center of our life, the center of our families, the center of our homes, is an important part of getting ready for Christmas. Something else we do for Christmas. I saw everybody doing it, not everybody, a bunch of people doing it this morning. Handing out Christmas cards. Yay! I love doing Christmas cards. Maybe you've noticed because you haven't gotten one in a while. So who do we send Christmas cards to? People who sent Christmas cards to us last year? Friends? Family? We send out greetings and tell them, hey, we're thinking about you. This is what's going on in our life. And we wish them a happy holiday season, Merry Christmas, and all those kind of things. But do we send an invitation to Christ to our friends and our family? An invitation to allow Christ in their life, to ask for Christ to come into their life. You know, our friends and our families are our closest. Many of them, it's the same thing. Sometimes it's not. But we have to make room for Jesus in our friends as well. Be able to share the hope that we have. The temptation, though, is that depending on the friends, it's easy to act one way at church and then a different way with our friends. A different way with at work. And so what happens to our Christmas decorations when we do that? Do we hide our Christmas decorations for the neighbors? Or do we say, hey, I'm celebrating Christmas? And so take that concept to your family and your friends, saying, am I sharing my hope, my belief with my friends, with my family? It's easy to be a Christian in church when you're surrounded by church people because they're all holding you accountable and they're all watching you to see if you slip up. Not really, but you're surrounded by good examples. Lots of people are very willing to boldly claim their Christianity on Sunday, but boldly ashamed of it on Monday. And don't want to cause any ripples. Nothing that's going to rock the boat. Nothing that's going to cause it, bring attention to them. I want to turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the power of God to salvation. Why would we be ashamed of it? Why would it affect us that we're not willing to talk to our friends about it? Our friends depend upon us to be a light for them. The people that we work with, they don't know it, but they're depending on us to be a light for them. I've had the opportunity, I've had more of an opportunity since I retired back in May to have some really good conversations with guys I work with because I've tried to keep contact with them. Had a good guy that I really enjoyed working with. He was he taught the academy with me, the last one I did, and he sent me a text saying, "Hey, I need some prayers." Okay, didn't see that coming. I hadn't talked to him in a couple of months, and so we started this texting thing. Well, he had a faith at one time in his life, and he'd kind of gotten away from it. And he's a month younger than I am, so he's just a youngster. And he had his tonsils taken out, and when they took out the tonsils, they found cancer, and it really rocked his world. And and when that happened, I was fortunate enough to be the one that he reached out to because he knew me. And we had some great conversations. I don't know what the Lord's eventual end going to be, but we had some really good conversations with the text because he couldn't talk because his throat had been cut open. But he said... He made a comment, though. He says, "You know, when you're getting it, because he got a PET scan to see if it had gone anywhere else." And he says, "You know, when you do a PET scan, you're laying in this tube. It's dark. You cannot move an inch. I mean, you're absolutely not supposed to move. There's no headphones. There's no sound. It's dark, and you have to remain completely motionless." He said, "The only one I could talk to was God." And, really, it's the way he works. He says he felt like God was calling out to him to get reacquainted. He needed to get his life back in order. And I think, sometimes God does use a tuba for to wake us up. I'm so thankful that he does. But, part of our Christmas preparations is being able to share our faith, share our hope with our family and our friends, send out those little Christmas cards of our life with the people around us. It's part of getting ready for Christmas. So we got the decorations up, got things cleaned out, got the cards sent out, finally. Now we got to start shopping for gifts. When you guys go gift shopping, except for the guys, I know you guys are terrified, but how much thought goes into the gift that you're thinking of for someone else? A lot of times I think it depends on the person and how close that relationship is. But, that's the nice thing about, I'll be honest with you, it's the nice thing about Liza buying her own gifts. Because I know it's what she wants. But, when you're buying it for someone else, it's like buying it for my kids. I spend a lot of time trying to think, well, what is a gift I could give them that they would, make them happy? Because what do you want to see, especially with kids, what do you want to see when they open their presents? yeah, awesome, that's what I wanted. How did you know? Well, it was the 10 hints you left in the kitchen. Okay, I got it. But it's because we want to see the joy of them opening the presents, isn't it? As the Christmas is a lot more for kids than it is for adults, because we sit back and watch. It's like wind them up and watch them get excited. It's fun. But a lot of our effort, a lot of our thought goes into what? To give. Because we want to give them something. We don't want to give them something that's going to be, thank you, I love that color. And then it goes, and it gets hung in the closet. And then you never see it again. That's not what we want, is it? We want to find something that they actually use, that gives them joy, that makes them so that they're happy. Not something that they got out of obligation. Oh, thank you. You want them to have joy. I want to turn over to John. I'll just start reading and you guys can figure out where I'm at. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's 3:16 if you hadn't figured it out. How much do you think that God thought about us when He was preparing a present for us? That was the gift He gave with His Son. In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about how the Father knows how to give good gifts. And He prepared that gift from the foundation of the world. That's how much thought He put into the gift that He gave us. So have you ever and this sounds bad, so just follow me with it, but you put yourself in God's place as giving a gift. And seeing that gift sit on a shelf, hidden in a closet, left in a box in the attic. What does that do to the gift giver? Don't you know how much I thought about before I gave you that? Don't you know how much love I invested in, time I invested in giving you that? What does He want us to do with it? He wants us to take it and use it in our life. He wants us to allow it to change us. Change the way we think. Change the way we act. Why? Because He wants to give us eternal life. He wants us to have that. It's a gift. What are we gonna do with it? Goes back to that choice we have to make. We have the gift. Are we going to choose to use it? Are we going to choose to allow it to affect our life? You know, we also give gifts to others. So I have a list of things that maybe we can consider a different kind of Christmas list that we can give to others. Forgiveness. We can forgive someone that's treated us wrong. We can pray for our enemies. That's a nice gift. Pray for the the people at work that are really annoying, that really make our job hard. That's a Christmas gift for them. Visit someone who's lonely. Mend a quarrel. You could surprise everyone and apologize for admitting you were wrong. Be especially kind to someone. Give our loved ones some time and attention. You know, those are things that we can do that are a different kind of Christmas gift that I want you to consider as you're getting ready for Christmas. You know, Christ, or the Father gave us a gift in Christ. And I hope that we take it into our life and actually allow it to change us. But have you ever thought, do you ever feel obligated because somebody gives you a gift that you need to give them something back? Have you ever thought, what are you going to give God? Talk about the guy who has everything. He's created everything. What are you going to give him that he doesn't already have? Only one thing. It's the one thing he doesn't have. Mosiah chapter 1, I think. Verse 119, for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever, but if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ. That atonement that he gave, that as a gift, we take it and apply it in our lives. And becometh a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, and willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. One thing that the Lord has given us, that's the only thing that we can give him back that he wants, is our will. Our free will to choose. We can give him our burdens. We can lay those things at his feet because he wants us to. The cares of this life, we can lay at his feet. We can give him our love and obedience. And that's ultimately what it comes down to in our life. Giving him us. Giving him our life. And saying, okay, Lord, you do with it what you want. And watch him bless it beyond what we could possibly imagine. And as much as we hold back, the less of a blessing we receive. Until we can give it all, that's when we truly find that peace and truly find that joy that he wants for us. So Christmas is coming. It's coming, and we have time to get ready. We have time to get things cleaned up. We have time to to change our life. We have time to make room for Him and put Him in our life. Because it's really, you know, talked about Malia being excited for Christmas and most of the kids being excited for Christmas. But there's another Christmas coming at His return. And that's what we should be excited about. That's why we should be as excited as these little kids are for Christmas, is how excited we should be for Christ's return. Because He's coming again. And we have to be ready for Christmas again when He returns. That's what I want you to get from this morning, is applying these things about getting ready for Christmas into getting ready for Christ's return. He is coming. And His coming isn't the end of time. It isn't the end of the world. It isn't the end of everything. It's a change. I'm a little jealous of our young people, because I look at them and I see them having an opportunity to witness the return of Christ. And you know, the Lord still has a purpose for them, a function for them, and seeing what the Lord is going to use them to do. They still have a life to live, and I'm so excited for that. But He is coming, and we have to be ready. We have to get ready for Christmas. You know, like I said, we prepare for Christmas in the physical sense. We have to prepare for Christmas, for Christ's return in the spiritual sense, and be ready and be excited and anxious for it to come. The only problem is we don't know what day it is. It could be today. And so we have to be ready. And that's something that you all have to answer yourself. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet our Savior up close and personal? Are you preparing? Are you cleaning out those things you need to get cleaned out? Are you making room? Are you putting Him in the center of your life? Are you sharing Him with the people that are around you so that they have that same joy? And are you giving Him... Are you giving Him your will? Giving Him your life and asking Him to take over? It's time for us to stop pushing Him out and allow Him in. It's time to make ourselves ready for Christmas. So I thank you for your time.